Welcome to Soupbox, where every conversation is a warm bowl of connection.
Thank you. Hey, Seth, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So a little intro, a little description about you or about Zap Cooking is that it's a decentralized recipe database or an app, that's built on the Nostr protocol that allows users to share and discover recipes in a community-driven environment. It features a very simple interface that is user-friendly and free from ads and spam, providing a clean experience for everyone. The thing that's unique about it is the ability to zap, which allows users to send small amounts of Bitcoin via the Lightning Network. And then that's a form of a gift or appreciation. And this fosters community engagement and support for contributors. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think that is a beautiful description. And, you know, if there's a Wikipedia entry, I think we start right there.
I was working on it earlier today when I was playing around with content for Zap Cooking. So, yeah, I thought it was cute. I was like, how do we summarize this app? And I think that was just like really, really cute idea. Okay, I need to know. Well, I guess we should let the listeners know how, first of all, how did you get onto Nostr?
Discovered Nostr through just chance, in the Twitterverse, when Jack Dorsey posted about it back in February 2022, I want to say. Maybe it was 2023. Maybe it was 2023. Maybe it's 2022, 2023. I can't remember because the years are all kind of combining together. But he posted about it, Domus. And I was like, oh, what's this? And I kind of liked the architecture of it.
Okay.
That is very interesting and something unique that we hadn't seen before. You know, this kind of way that you can use public private key cryptography to log into something. I thought that was very unique. And, you know, and by nature, it was decentralized. So, of course, you start hopping down that rabbit hole and you discover more and more and more. The layers keep peeling back. So, ever since I started, I think my first note was, you know, a new world is born or something like that. And it's true. It's like this whole new universe opened up. And I remember it was like, wow, this is really cool. And then just started connecting with people and commenting there. And I just decided this is kind of the primary place I want to have communications because it was completely different. You know, Twitter was full of a bunch of political junkies and dunkers and, you know, it's a popularity contest by, you know, trying to get clickbait and things like that. And this was very unique. People were saying good morning and hello and, you know, welcome and just having conversations in a very organic fashion. I thought that was really neat and different than any other social media. So, you know, between the architecture and the kind of design of it and the culture that emerged as part of it, I was like, oh, I'm hooked on this. This is really cool. And so, you know, ever since I've just been communicating there primarily.
Yeah, you sound like me. I was like, wow, people are actually talking back because I was so used to the one-sided, you know, like screens. Like I'm just watching everybody or reading everybody and here everybody's talking to me about their lives, what they're going through each day, saying good morning, like you said. So I love the community-based side of it. And so how did you end up working on Zap Cooking? Like, where did that come about? Because I came onto Nostr, I think you already had it developed. So, and I was Nostr July 7th, 2023. So it had to be before that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was trying to go back through and remember like when this all kind of came together. But it started as this, I mean, it all started with these, we started doing these Nostr nests. And this is before Corny Chat, you know, okay. Nostr Nest was the primary place, which was kind of developed like Corny Chat. It's just a fork of Jam Systems and Nostr Nest has since been evolved into more of a Nostr client and Corny Chat's kind of taken that concept and ran a little further with it and integrated a lot of Nostr features.
Yeah, I was surprised by it because I thought Corny Chat was first. The way you talk, because you're from that group, like with everybody that hung out, like the original people that started playing around with that app. So that was like really interesting when I found out that Noster Nest. And that's, is that how you met Derek?
Well, Derek and I have a even more interesting story because we were both on Noster and we were following each other. And by chance, I just happened to go into there's this like place where they have like a kid zone, like kind of like a Dave and Buster's type of thing. But they have, for kids, so you go play the games and stuff, and then they have a bar for the parents or whatever. We're just hanging out there, my wife and I, and I had a Bitcoin hat on, and a friend or a guy at the bartender's like, "Hey, one of my customers or a friend of mine is running this Bitcoin meetup, and you should look it up." And he gave me a link for it, and you could tell by the PFP it was Derek, and I was like, "This is the same dude on Noster." So we ended up meeting. We're relatively close, but somewhat far away, within a half hour of each other. And so we were following each other on Nostra. We were down the Nostra rabbit hole, but we didn't know each other. We lived nearby, and we've become friends since, and we traveled to Nostraville together. We obviously did Nostra Valley recently, and
Yeah, I want to talk about that. Like, did
yeah.
you, when you guys started talking about events, is that like because you wanted to do something closer to home? Like, why did Noster Valley come about?
It was we just sat down and kind of had a, hey, let's go meet up one night, and really just started having a conversation. And I was kind of the pusher on it. I was like, "Hey, let's just do our own event. Like, let's just say screw it. Like, let's find a venue. We're in central Pennsylvania. It's close enough driving distance for people like in New York." There's an airport in State College that has regular commutes from, I think, Chicago and somewhere else, Charlotte maybe. It's like, let's just do it, And so we just started scoping out an event, and once we selected the event, it's like, all right, it's promotion time. And it was like after Labor Day. I remember it was like we're messaging back and forth, like after Labor Day, we're really gonna just start promoting it. And we just kind of all put it together just by kind of chance. And then he started, he was really big on marketing and organizing and getting a lot of people to come speak and different things like that. But yeah, it just kind of came together somewhat organically, but it was really born in this kind of idea of, just hanging out and at a bar and having a couple beers and
There you
just.
go. It's perfect kind of for Zap cooking because it's like food related. Like you're just hanging out with like having a beer and like we need a
Yeah.
food event. And do you like have you been to ha is that Happy Valley Brewing?
I knew the place. I've been there before.
So
We
is
had a
that?
couple,
Oh, go ahead.
yeah, no, we had a couple different locations scouted, and it was really, there was a timing issue because, Penn State football is a huge thing in the area. Like, the next weekend, I think they had 111,000 people that
Oh,
came in
geez.
for the, yeah, which is crazy. And so like those football weekends are insane. There's no hotels. And so we had to kind of plan it around that. Like it had to be an away game, which it was, and or a bye week. So we had to work our plans around that. And it just worked out that this was like this quaint little place. We got the whole downstairs and got to really enjoy that experience.
That's cool. Did you have a beer?
What's that?
Did you drink anything there?
Yeah. It's I had I think I had the IPA there. Like
Okay.
when we first got there, I had a beer.
I had the coffee one. It was really
Yeah.
good. Yeah, it was a cute place. Like it, I didn't realize it was gonna be like two floors like that. It's really
Yeah.
big.
It's quaint, and like I didn't know this until we were setting up. The owner was there, and he said it's like the oldest building in State College.
Nuh-uh, really?
Yeah,
That's cool.
I forget. I think it was like the late 1800s or something like
Wow.
that, or maybe early 1900s. I have to look up the history there, but I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And you saw, I mean, it's almost like log cabin flooring and stuff
Yeah, it was
like that.
beautiful. It was really big and I was like it kind of gave like a house vibe almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when we ignored the signs on the side of the building 'cause you know how it said like enter here. We entered through the front. But so we like kind of like toured the whole place and it was just like I was like, "Oh, there's a whole restaurant." And then we went downstairs, it's like a whole bar. It was really cool looking. Did you eat at all?
I ate at the event, and
Okay.
then I've ate there before. I think I got the there's like chicken tacos, which
All
were
right,
really
cool.
good.
Yeah, I saw these buffalo wings going around. I was like, oh, those look good. Yeah. I was like eyeballing them, following the waitress.
Our charcuterie board too, which looked very appetizing, you know, like meat and cheeses and olives and stuff like that. Which are,
do you think
the charcuterie is like really taken off, right? That's like the thing nowadays.
That's like a big Noster thing is meat. All the meat in Noster. Everybody's like meat, meat, meat. So that charcuterie board is like a big thing. Well, yeah. You know, Scott, one of the panel, like we were talking about making a bar, like, you know, a salad bar, but instead of salads, it's just meat. Was like all varieties of different meat cuts and people can.
Yeah, it goes deep. It used to just be like simple like cuts. It's like salami and ham, and now it's like Giovanni salami and all this special type of ham and this prosciutto and all kinds of Italian cuts.
Oh,
and
I love that stuff.
Cured and all kinds of different flavors and that's different funny. Ways to form it. So.
I like the restaurant afterwards. That was like, have you been to that American Eel House?
Yeah, that's a nice place. And, you know, definitely picked that spot for a reason because it's kind of a little more fancy place. They did have a piano bar, and I've seen the piano's actually built into the bar, but I've never seen them play it, you know, because every time I've been there, it's either been like kind of for dinner or like an early dinner or lunch or something like that.
That tomahawk steak was wild, though. It was like $80, $90. And it was like, bigger than both of our heads combined.
Yeah, it's like that thing that Fred Flintstone.
It was hilarious. I was like, I was making Avi, the host from Plub Chain Radio, be like, take a picture for me. Because I was like.
Oh, you were down, you were commanding everyone. Everybody get your picture. I remember you're like, take a picture of your food. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with it? Am I supposed to post it? No, save it for.
I was like making everybody take their phone out just to take pictures for the Zap Cooking newsletter that we organized. And it was so funny. I'm doing it again because like I just went to Nosterville 2.0 in Nashville. And nice. I'm like, I have everybody taking pictures. I'm like, JD, take a picture. Riddler, take a picture. I'm like across the table, like because we went to breakfast a few times. So I did that. That's my personality. So I'm going to do that at every event, like screaming across the table. Yeah, there was like about 15 of us there, right?
Yeah,
it was a good time. It was one of my favorite days I've had in a long time, or weekends. Yes. So what?
Yeah, Nosterville.
Well, no, not Noster Valley was. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I jump ahead sometimes. But no, Noster Valley was really fun, and I had really great housemates at the Verbo that we were staying at, and then meeting all you guys face to face for the first time, it was so nice, and I appreciate it. I'm grateful. So you know, I'm grateful for you. If anybody doesn't know. I actually help Seth on Zap Cooking. I am his content coordinator for the newsletter, and I push everybody to put new recipes on. So, I'm just thinking.
You do more work than me. You're the glue that holds it all together.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. And I also appreciate that you're sitting down with me. You're my third interview, so I'm kind of still getting used to it. But I do appreciate you.
Yeah. The feeling's mutual.
I would actually like to get to know you more. So I want to know, who are you? I know you have Zap Cooking, and I know like you're into Noster and Bitcoin, I'm assuming, but who are you? Like, if you had to describe yourself to me in like a paragraph outside of Noster, what would you say?
I hate doing this, but.
Put you on the spot, Seth.
Yeah. No, I don't want, you know, I just like, I try to be more humble, right? But I'm just a dude, you know, I'm a father, you know, I have two boys, married, you know, husband. So, you know, that's a big part of my life. But, you know, mostly intellectually curious. So yeah. I've always just been deeply curious, you know, my kind of journey of learning just never stopped. Like even out of high school, I remember I didn't go to college right away. And my dad, he worked for the phone company, which was GTE back in the day. And, you know, his advice was, hey, you got to go learn a trade, you know, and he was doing maintenance, like HVAC stuff. So immediately after high school, I went and learned to a technical school. And it was like how to lay fiber optics and do Cat 5 wiring and security systems and stuff like that. And I never ended up going into the field, but, you know, the kind of learning journey never stopped. I got into manufacturing and started working in manufacturing, just basically assembling and like circuit boards and electronics. And then just every day, it's like this new curiosity. Oh, what's this do? You know, and then you learn through the whole process of electronics, and I eventually go through school and stuff like that, and went through an engineering role and through supply chains and stuff like that. But, you know, the kind of the fundamental piece of that that has always followed me around, or maybe led me or driven me, was just an innate curiosity about how things work, how humans work, how, you know, history works, how it all intertwines. And, you know, that's just been a fascination of mine, you know, forever.
Yeah, I see you post things every day, like a Tao. Is that what it's like?
The Tao. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you, is that something you follow? Like, what, like, what, I guess, like, your daily life, is that something you try to apply?
Yeah. I mean, I try to wake up in the morning and kind of give thanks for the day. And, you know, there's a point in time, you know, a while back, I was working from home, and, you know, I had a better kind of routine where I would, and I had a podcast. I was doing it every day. It's called Zenster. It's still out there. And I would take some of these daily readings and kind of summarize them and talk about, you know, the different aspects of it and try to incorporate, you know, historical content and stuff like that. And, you know, I've just had this habit for probably a couple years now. And I try to introduce new books and stuff like that. But Taoism's kind of like really been the spiritual practice that's kind of grabbed me the most. You know, I was raised like a lot of people in America, you know, on kind of Christian roots, Catholic upbringing, that type of thing. And a lot of things in that world didn't make as much sense because it seemed more like a political ideology, and this Taoism just kind of resonated a little bit more with how it, you know, just talks about how existence is in a more kind of understandable way.
Yeah, your post, like, it resonated with me because it was like so peaceful, but then you also had the food site, which I grew up in restaurants my whole life. Like, my mom was a waitress when I was 5 years old. Like, I've always been in and out of restaurants. And to see you putting on Zap Cooking, and then you're also doing this very, you're just very peaceful. Every morning you were like posting these like very like deep thinking pieces, you know, and I'm like, you are one of my favorite people to follow on Nosser. And it helped me at that time too, because I was very isolated, and I think just by having you be one of the faces that I saw on a regular basis was really helpful. So I really appreciate that as well. So even though I'm involved with Zap Cooking, it was like just your whole nature was just really nice and really peaceful, and I love that about you. So
thanks. Yeah, it's funny that like these daily morning posts, like, every now and again, you just hit somebody and they're like, I needed that. Thank you. You know, it's like, okay, I helped somebody today, even though I didn't write the words, or maybe I'll put a little blip onto it, but, you know, somebody needed to read that at that moment. And it's kind of a cool, you know, bridging of humanity and culture and connection together, which I think food does too, right? And I think that's
It's funny because sometimes when you posted those, like, every morning I would read it, but it was always something I was already experiencing or going through at that moment. So it was like, it was so synced up, and I was like, this is wild. Like, you, I was like, you're reading my brain or something like that. Like, it's like I could say I need to dance more, and the next post, like, your morning post would be like, you should live life to, like, while dancing or something. It was just like, it just synced up so much. And I'm like, I feel like I need to know you. And that's why I stayed, like, I was like, I started pushing you more and more and more. And I was a big cheerleader for you and Zap Cooking because of, I don't know, I was just like listening to the universe. I'm very spiritual. I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual. Yeah. And then having you post those every morning, or as much as I could see it in my timeline, I felt connected in some kind of synchronicity, you know, like, I was like, okay, there's something going on here. So I don't know. I love it. I think you're awesome. And then, like, when you, all right, so like right now you, I think you are jogging. Are you still jogging?
Yeah, I was I was training for a thing. I guess it's been like a week since I've ran but I kind of ebb and flow in and out of, I mean, I walk pretty much every day, pretty consistently.
You have
I
dogs,
always,
right?
yeah, I got dogs, so I walk them a lot. But yeah, and then I like to kind of train for races in the spring and fall, and I've been doing that for 15, 20 years, something like that.
But Pennsylvania is beautiful because, like, you post like all these nature shots. And I'm like, I don't want to live up north because I don't like winter time. But when you post those like pictures of like just the environment, I'm like, oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
I bet you just feel so spiritual out there, like connecting to nature and everything.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's unique in the sense that we do get all four seasons, and there is a little bit of an advantage, it's a nicety, I guess, to having even winter, right? There's like some of these over the years, training, like I've done like running and stuff in the winter, and some of the like
Wow.
my greatest runs are like there's this one trail that I run, and it's about 4 miles out, so it's kind of far back in the woods. And like once you go, you have to go back. So you're doing 8 miles, right, on the run. But you get to this one spot, and it's like overlooks this valley that like you can see, and it's like this like perfect spot in this perfect moment. And like when you get
Wow.
out there, you're just like in awe, like I get to, enjoy this.
So, next, are you planning on doing another Noster Valley?
I think we got a very good feedback on the first one, and I think the motto that we kind of built around everything was like, if you build it, they will come, right? Field of dreams. And so we were like, yeah, I mean, that's what we did. We had no idea how many people were going to show up, and we got, I think Derek said 38. It felt a little higher than that. I'd say close to 50. And we had really good response, good turnout, a lot of FOMO. You're doing well when there's a lot of FOMO. People are like, I wish I was there, right? But I think we'll definitely look at doing it again. The one thing I wanted to do, and I remember talking to Avi about this like the year before, I'm like, want to do an event in Pennsylvania's got like these great fall scenes, right? That are like perfectly orange and red. And Noster Valley was probably right there. A week later, it would have been like perfect, but it turned out very good either way.
I was so bummed because, like, I think the day before the lights were in the sky.
Oh, the Northern Lights, yeah.
Yeah, I was like one day behind, and I was almost there to see it because
Yeah.
Derek posted the pictures on Noster, and I was like, "What?" Or maybe his wife did. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I could see that." And then I got there the next day, and I couldn't see it. I was so bummed.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it either, and I was like looking out, and I was like, I did see this pinkish hue, and it was like, I heard people like, well, if you take it with your phone, you can see it. And I'm like, that doesn't kind of count, I want to see it with my own eyes, right? Like Darth Vader at the end, I want to see you with my own eyes, right? See it through an AI lens or anything. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of a cool, we've been fortunate to have those in recent months, and although I didn't get to see him, but I still like to and appreciate all the aspects of nature.
So, what are your thoughts on this whole Bitcoin thing happening right now?
What Bitcoin thing? Is there something happening with Bitcoin that I haven't heard of?
That it's like reached like 90,000 plus.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, but it's like it feels like I've been trying to tell people. I've kind of thought it was gonna play out similar. I didn't think it was gonna go up this fast, but figured it was gonna kind of play out like this. I mean, if anything, it's hard to stay humble. You feel a little vindicated because I got into Bitcoin in the cycle back in 2020 when COVID happened. I knew there was a shift happening in the world, and that meant financially, economically, all these things were happening. And I was like, because I had a friend that was like, hey, you got a Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. So I was like, all right, I got to start studying. Like going back to the curiosity, I'm like, I just got to start studying it. So I started with the Bitcoin Standard, read that, and it's like, all right, then you go down the rabbit hole and you go through different paths. But yeah, so I was no stranger to this, and I kind of knew this was going to happen in some sequential way that it is. But yeah, it's exciting. It makes you feel vindicated in some ways. And I certainly want to yell at all the people that I've tried to convince and be like, I told you so. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to stay humble, right?
Yeah, I know. I started buying crypto like on stock. I started buying stocks on Robinhood. And yeah. I just bought all the cryptos at one point. I was just like buying all of them. And then I didn't really get into Bitcoin till I joined Noster. And then all of you guys are like, you got to do this. Look at this. Watch this. Like everybody's just like filling my head up for like, you know, a good year. But I was like, all right, I'll play with it. I'll play with it. But it has not really gone down since I started. I think when I first started, high 40s, maybe early 50s kind of thing. And now, yeah. I don't know, I bought it, I think the last time I bought some was like when it was in the 60s. So it's like right now, this helped me survive a month off from my, like, I'm in between work right now. So I'm like taking some time off and it's like giving me a little vacation, like a little bumper, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm impressed. Like, but it's just so cute to like see everybody on Noster just being like, yeah, we're all getting girlfriends and Lambos.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's like certainly the shit posting side of it and people love to do that aspect. But I think naturally it's a lot of the Bitcoin and a lot of Noster people are just, I would say like fundamentalists, like purists, like not purists, like principally driven, right? Like, it's like, you don't want to go down this path because it's scammy or something like that. So there's kind of a, I think, like from going back to the spiritual side, right? There is this kind of baseline of character that people sort of exhibit in this world. And I wonder if it's true because like there's like an ownership aspect to it. Like you own your keys and there's a responsibility, right? So makes me wonder, like, is that why people are so kind of naturally oriented, naturally more kind of connected in that sense?
Aware I don't know. What they're doing. Yeah, I that makes sense. Because, like, once you're responsible for it, you have to be responsible for it. It's not just, like, jumping on something that someone else is taking care of and you're just running wild. You know, I get it. That's interesting because Noster and Bitcoin seem like they have the same mentality. So it's like, that's why I like it. Cause I feel like everyone helps you. Like if you have a question, they'll help you, you know, like they want you to grow. It's not just like, oh, it's all for me, none for you, nothing like that. And I don't know, just the community has brought me so far. Like even with these podcasts, like you're on here helping me out. You're like, oh yeah, I'll sit down with you. Just let me know when. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever had people be so agreeable, not agreeable, but like so so reciprocal in their like communications as Noster and Bitcoin people.
Yeah, people just want to help and that, you know, what matters is, you know, being able to contribute in a meaningful way. And it's not in a scammy way like, you know, like, hey, I'm going to do this now, buy my book or something like that, right? Or like sign up for my newsletter. That's a thing that's kind of like little icky, and it makes it hard too with the business model, right? Because you're trying, like, you don't want to kind of follow into the scam traps that existed in the legacy world, you know, where you're just spamming people and stuff like that with like emails and stuff, right? But at the same time, you know, you got to find a way to kind of you know, walk and chew gum and try to make some sort of monetary sense and try to grow it, even like outside of Noster, right? Because Noster is a very small community. It's a niche community, mm-hmm. and it's strong and it's all the things we mentioned before, but it's very small and, you know, people kind of fall off and stuff like that. So if you want to grow it outside of that, you have to expand outside of it, right?
Right. Does your family, are they involved? Like you're married and you have kids, like, are you setting them up for like, I don't know, everybody says generational wealth. Are you setting them up for that, for a Bitcoin future, or are you just kind of doing it and then once it becomes popular?
No, know, I mean, I think leading through by example, you know, my kids have Lightning wallets and things like that. My wife, God bless her, she's been, you know, on my side. There's been a couple times she's like, well, you know, we got to sell it before, you know, it gets drops too low or something like that. And we have a good laugh. And today she texts me and it's like, so Bitcoin hit $90,000. So, geez. You know, or whatever.
Your husband's doing a little happy dance, though.
Yeah, you know, and again, you got to go back to being humble a little bit, right? You got to try namaste. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You got to be, it's funny because somebody like posted, like, oh, you're all talking about Lambos and girlfriends and all this stuff. But yeah, like, you're all year, you're like, stay humble, stack sats. It's like, right, as soon as it hit 90, everyone flipped and went wild.
Yeah. Well, you got to celebrate a little bit too, right? You know.
Well, it feels good. I think it feels like for a minute you feel like you're winning, you know, like you feel like everything is going the right way.
Well, definitely momentum wise, right?
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, like the bear market, when I joined Nostrum, when all this was happening, that's when we were building the most. It was like, you know, we were building Lightning networks together and building websites and Nostra clients and stuff like that. And I'll, you know, admit to my own fault. Sometimes it, you know, it slips away from you and you get less aggressive on, you know, getting things done and getting, you know, the word out there. But, you know, partially with Zap Cooking too, you know, it's like we got something that exists and you know, we talked about, I don't remember if it was here or at Nostra Valley, but like, you know, some of the barrier to entry is like a feature, right? It's a little hard to get on, you don't, but it's a feature because it prevents spam bots and you have this more authentic, like it takes a little bit to kind of, you know, post a recipe. And so people are doing it for the right reasons. They're not, you know, and we've got, I don't know, last I counted, it was like over 300 some odd recipes.
Yeah. We're getting a couple more this month. Nice. For Nostraville, I had a gumbo with two of the users, and delicious. It was
Rupert and Zeus,
Yes. So if you,
I know, I was a little jealous when I saw they brought some gumbo, and I was like, man, gumbo,
so good. I ate four bowls. Do you know that? Yeah. I ate two for dinner, went to sleep, woke up while everyone was sleeping, snuck into the kitchen, grabbed that big pot in the fridge, and made myself two more bowls. It was that good. And then I was like, please, will you put this on Zap Cooking so I can add it to the newsletter? Because it was just like, wow. If you want to eat a good gumbo, you have them make it.
They're like authentic Southerners, right?
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, they're from Louisiana. It was
Louisiana gumbo, right?
Oh my gosh, I was like, yeah, that to me made the trip. I was like, I can't stop thinking about that. And also, there was in Nashville. I'm not sure if you've ever been to Nashville.
Yeah, I was in Nostraville last year.
Okay, did you have Hattie B's chicken sandwiches at all?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so next time you go to Nashville, have Hattie B's hot chicken sandwich. I had it mild because I just wanted to taste it first. And then they also had a pimento mac and cheese. Oh my God, it was phenomenal. I'm literally thinking about driving up there from Florida to get this sandwich. It's that good. And like, should I go to Chick-fil-A now? Because I'm not a chicken sandwich eater, but after having that, I'm
turned on a new circuit in your brain, you know?
Yeah. Nashville had some pretty damn good food, and that's including the people that actually attended the events. Like, you know, one of the girls, we call her B on Noster, she made crab cakes. Delicious. Then we had this, what?
Nice. Yeah.
I'm sorry. And then we went to a community breakfast table. So what you do is, like, there's these long tables, but since there were so many of us already, we just sat at our own. But then they do family style breakfast, and they just give you like biscuits and gravy and eggs and pancakes and cinnamon rolls. Awesome. And you just pass the plates around. It was so cute and so fun. And then we also went for breakfast at this place called the Pancake Pantry. And they had like 1,000 different pancakes, but because I can't stop thinking about biscuits and gravy from, you know, the first breakfast, I ordered that instead. But I did get a side of buttermilk pancakes. Yeah, Nashville has really good food. So
when I was there last year, it had been last November, they had an empanada truck that was that came into Bitcoin Park, which was fantastic.
I love empanada.
We did, I forget the name of the place, but we did a breakfast down there, which was also wonderful. You know, I love a good breakfast, a good breakfast food, you know, just that authentic, you know, sausage and eggs and bacon. I mean, like, that's like, how can you go wrong, right?
Right. Yeah, Bitcoin Park has like regular caterers, and one of them is called, don't quote me, I think it's, I might mess it up, but it's Lady Bird, and it's like Mexican food, and that's who catered the Nosterville 2.0, and it was phenomenal. Like, there was like shredded chicken, there's beef, no, it was chicken and then shredded beef, and then there was like beans. It was like a whole taco like spread, like a build your own tacos, and it had flour and corn tortillas. Oh. Delicious. So if you ever, I'm telling, Nashville has a good food scene. I'm really glad I went. So we're going to have good stories.
You know, that's the thing, being down there last year. Like, I feel like I didn't get enough of the cultural side, because there was like a lot of panels and stuff like that. So we didn't get to go out as much. We spent a lot of time at the park. Right. Which was awesome. I mean, because we were connecting with people and
well, I guess that makes it. What if you do that in Pennsylvania? If we did like Noster Valley, is there some kind of food adventure we could go on?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, State College. I mean, you just got a sample of it right there, right? And there's more than just State College. State College is a college town, but there's a lot of different places to eat, different cultural aspects of it. You know, and there's a lot of diversity there. And yeah, definitely next year want to do it a little bit bigger and a little bit better. I mean, this was kind of put together, you know, we sponsored it through Zap Cooking. Would like to kind of form this with a little better structure, you know, some things definitely want to do to, you know, incentivize it and maybe get some, you know, some grant money or some donations to make it a little bit bigger, or, you know, try to finance it in a different way, because, you know, at the end of the day, we were kind of going cheap. We weren't begging people for sponsorships. We just wanted to have a free event for people to come to, because, you know, and people paid to come stay and stuff like that, but the whole point was about connection. But next year, definitely want to kind of ramp up how big we do it and how much we promote it, and try to make it a little bit bigger and better and you know, fuller for everyone that comes in.
So I have a question. What is your favorite recipe on Zap Cooking?
I got to see if I can find it. There's a salmon that Doc put out there. I forget the name of it. But it is amazing. And I remember when he put it, he's like, this is like this recipe. It's like somewhere in this, like, New York Times, and his wife like loved it. And I'll tell you what, this is like, it feels like one of these high end recipes. I'd have to find it, but there's a salmon recipe from Doc. Okay. Out
there. You can send it to me and then I could put it in the newsletter.
Yeah. Cool? Okay.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let me give you your final question.
Okay.
What do you see for Zap Cooking for the future?
Well, you know, Zap Cooking was kind of idling along, just being a, you know, Noster's premier recipe app, site, whatever you want to call it. And then you came along and put some life into it with the newsletter, which I think is really expanding the kind of cultural aspect of it. And, you know, we've talked about this before. And some of the things, and these are ideas that I've had, and you've brought fresh life into it. It's like, how do we kind of expand the cultural aspect? Because one of the things that people complain about Noster is like, it's all Bitcoiners talking about Bitcoin. There's no diverse of any ideas and this and that. So, you know, guess what? Everybody on this earth likes food. They eat food, right?
And exactly. That reminds me, someone asked me a question. Oh, I was on a podcast. I was getting interviewed about Zap Cooking, and she asked me if we wanted to implement AI, and I kind of answered like you wanted to keep it community based, more about peer to peer. What are your thoughts on that? So I guess in the future, I know what I'm talking about.
We've talked about this at like in depth, like discussed bringing like, and actually to the point where like we were going to implement an API to OpenAI, and there was other ideas about building the DVM, data vending machine type of thing where you could zap to get access to this AI agent. And it's, but this was like early in the, we're still pretty early in the AI, but this, you know, call it a year ago. And it was like, it sounds like a good idea. But then it was like, we wanted to be able to separate. We didn't want to just junk it up with a bunch of AI recipes. You know, we want, there's like an authentic piece of that we wanted to, you know, keep. And so this was kind of like, in the sense, like you want to move fast, try new things and experiment and fail fast and adjust, right? In the classic kind of business or the modern kind of tech type of sense. But there's something also true about like not like going full accelerator. It's like, let's kind of vet these things through and think about it. Because in this kind of new world where we're moving towards with AI and integrated into just about every corner of the earth. And, you know, I'm a fan, I like it. Right. But you know, it's going to be this synthetic kind of, world of like fake information, which exists right on Twitter and Reddit and all these places. So you're going to have this synthetic part of the world of communications. And then you're going to have the organic part, which is like, you and I having a conversation or meeting in person at an event and eating together and connecting together. And I think, you know, to preserve that aspect of, you know, our human bonds, I think it's important that we kind of make sure that we are building it in a way that is more tied to that, that kind of the way we used to, right? The yeah. Breaking bread at the dinner table and connecting in real life or virtually, like we are, you know, we're having a you know, a Google Meet thing or whatever, you know, a video chat, right?
It's decentralized.
You know,
don't tell the others.
Yeah, Google-esque, right? But I think we gotta, you know, some of us have to hold that aspect of our culture together, and I think that's definitely where we want to go, and you know, just keep expanding through content communications in that organic way, unless in that synthetic way.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Seth. I appreciate it, and thanks for being my boss.
Nah, right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it.